From KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson of Unfictional, a program of unbelievably true stories and radio movies. We're happy to be back in your feed. Right now, Unfictional is in its off-season. News about the next batch of Unfictional programs is coming soon. But in the meantime, we'd like to introduce you to one of KCRW's new podcasts. It's from the talented producer David Weinberg. It's called Welcome to Los Angeles. Ever since the very first boosters marketed Los Angeles as a paradise by the sea, people have been rolling into the town with big dreams, and the city has crushed a lot of those dreams. In this series, David will explore a few of the many LAs that exist between the Pacific and the Mojave, and you'll meet all sorts of interesting characters along the way. We're sharing the first episode of that program right here. It's about David's first day in Los Angeles and how he wound up on a yacht attending a birthday party for a Russian theremin builder. From KCRW, this is the first episode of Welcome to Los Angeles.
I moved to Los Angeles in 2012. And on my first day as an Angeleno, I found myself at a party on a yacht. I didn't know anyone there, but we all bonded quickly when we were set adrift and had to be rescued by boat police. It was a beautiful summer day in July. Light breeze coming off the ocean, blue skies, gobs of sunlight.
I remember the boat had a good-sized deck up top and then a lower cabin. And I think an even lower cabin.
My initial reaction was, wow. It was like 80 feet, maybe?
It was a pretty big boat.
You know how some people in LA kind of fetishize boogie nights and stuff like that? It was a little bit like that. Like he showed us the sort of like the honeymoon suite on the boat. And I can't remember if it was a heart-shaped bed or if it was just like gold. You know, it definitely looked like we were in 1977, kind of the early days of porn kind of vibe.
I think it was Gene's birthday, and he invited us.
He said, bring an instrument.
It was a birthday party for a Russian theremin builder named Gene.
My name is Gene Segal. I am a creative inventor, mechanic, musician, artist, dreamer, and love is what I'm offering.
Most of the people Gene invited were musicians. Nearly everyone showed up with an instrument of some kind. I met a pair of Nepalese sisters named Rina and Bina, who ran an import store, a woman named Yuki, and a guy sitting on a strange wooden box. He gave me his business card. His title was Drum Circle Facilitator. He asked me if I was into movement.
I remember there was a couple girls on the boat who were, let's say they were working girls maybe, and I remember I was just asking them what they did, and one of them said they were in the movie industry, and I was like, what kind of movies? And they both just started cracking up. And it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, this is a very LA night, you know.
Everyone was milling about, nibbling on a platter of grocery store sushi, drinking cocktails and wine, when the first sign of trouble appeared.
They were trying to start the engine and they couldn't start the engine. I'm kind of an amateur sailor, you know, I have a little tiny boat that I keep in my backyard. And the sailor side of me, which is, I think everybody who's ever been on a boat knows that, like, anything can go wrong at any time. You have to be kind of careful. So the sailor side of me, my ears started pricking up because I heard all this, jing, 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 jing. And I was like, okay, they're obviously having trouble up there. I want to trust them that they know what they're doing, but I'm also like, man, should I offer my help? I didn't know. So I went up there. They were like frantically kind of scrambling around the cockpit, just, you know, trying to figure out what was wrong. And immediately my stomach started not being queasy, but just like there was something that was saying, like, put on your life jacket or something. I don't know.
Let me explain how I got here. That day started with my girlfriend Katya and I unpacking our belongings. We'd recently gotten rid of most everything we owned, loaded the rest into our Toyota Corolla, and driven from St. Louis to Los Angeles. It was Katya's idea to move here. She was a fiction writer, working on her first novel, and had dreams of working in television.
I mean, I thought it would be like my day job, like coffee shop. I don't think so. Like, I'll just write for television. I mean, because I feel like you always hear about like Faulkner or whatever, just like writing, like shitting out these screenplays to like support himself while working on like the next great American novel. And I thought that would be me, but.
To be fair, Katya's dream of TV writing wasn't completely out of nowhere. Right after Hurricane Katrina devastated the Gulf Coast, Katya moved to New Orleans to volunteer. She lived in a tent, gutted houses, and edited an underground newspaper started by a ragtag group of anarchists, hippies, and drifters. Then she co-wrote a screenplay about that experience, along with a director. The movie debuted at South by Southwest. Elizabeth Moss and Christopher Eccleston played the leads. So Hollywood success seemed within reach. Once we got to LA, my plan was to get a job doing sound on movies or television as a way to support myself while I pursued a career in journalism. So Katya and I loaded up our car and headed west to start a new life. We rented a two-month sublet on the edge of Koreatown, a little apartment with a Murphy bed and a tiny balcony. The building had been owned by Paramount Studios at one time, and actors had been put up in the apartments during movie shoots. As we unpacked, I felt these little jolts of excitement, sparked by the details of our apartment. Inside the closet was a vanity, where at one time movie stars probably put on makeup before they went out on the town. But those moments of excitement were followed by panic. After paying our 2 months' rent up front, I had less than $200 to my name, and I didn't have a job. But then I would stop to appreciate the built-in breakfast nook in the kitchen. I'd stare out the window at the courtyard and feel momentarily calmed by what I could only assume was good feng shui and all that famous light pouring into the room. Then I would panic again, thinking I'd made a huge mistake leaving my comfortable life. This cycle of excitement and despair was broken when my phone rang. It was a musician friend of mine. He asked if we'd like to come to a party on a yacht, a birthday party for a friend of his who made custom-built theremins. I hung up the phone, and all my doubts about moving were gone. This is exactly what I imagined my life in LA would be like. Yacht parties every weekend with eccentric musicians playing handmade theremins. I ran out of the apartment to get a cheap bottle of wine to bring along. But about 20 minutes later, my phone rang again. It was my friend. His car had overheated on the way to pick me up, and he'd burned his hand badly opening the radiator cap. He was going home to soak his hand in cold water, and he was bailing on the party. This is exactly what I imagined my life in LA would be like. I'd be broke in my tiny apartment, while somewhere out there, beautiful people were partying on yachts and playing music. But then my phone rang again. It was my friend. He told Gene, the guy hosting the party, what had happened, and Gene said we could still come if we wanted. Katya was beat from the cross-country drive and wanted to stay home and unpack, so I went alone. I grabbed the bottle of cheap wine and my tape recorder, because back then I never left home without it. And I jumped in the car and headed for the ocean. When I got to the boat, Dennis Cohen, the owner and captain, greeted me. He had a short white beard, a plume of gray hair, and a colorful shirt. I went to the bar, made myself a drink, and then headed to the rooftop deck. But on the way, I noticed a framed newspaper article mounted on the wall of the cabin. It was about Dennis and his yacht. The name of the boat was Concordance.
I'm Dennis Cohen. I'm the captain of the Concordance. The reason that I called this boat the Concordance, because Concordance means a state of harmony. And what we do on this boat is we help people as they're going through the transition of the end of their marriage or relationship or partnership with as much harmony as possible.
Maybe at night the Concordance is a love boat, but during the day, it turns out It's the opposite of a love boat. You see, Dennis is an attorney who specializes in mediation, and the Concordance is his office. It's the place where bickering couples come to hash out the messy details of who gets what in the divorce.
In California, they call it a dissolution of marriage, but it's more than that. It's a dissolution of your hopes and dreams.
So the Concordance isn't just a floating law office where dreams go to die. It's also a great place to throw a party.
Yeah. Okay, let's just warm up with this.
Yeah, yeah. Just play with Neil Young, man.
I think of this boat as really absorbing a lot of energies here, energies from a lot of friends who have been here. And so there's a lot of good vibration, okay, that's kind of absorbed by this old classic wooden boat.
After reading the newspaper article, I wandered up to the rooftop deck where Gene, the birthday boy, was playing one of his handmade theremins as accompaniment to a Neil Young song on the radio. We made small talk, and I asked him how he knew Dennis. He told me he'd known him since he was a little kid.
He is my Jewish big brother, which is a program called Jewish Big Brothers for boys who do not have a father. A man can volunteer to be a big brother, and we stayed friends ever since.
Gene came to America from the Soviet Union with his mother when he was 8 years old. This was the 1970s, and back then it was difficult to get out. But because Gene and his mother were Jewish, they were able to get visas to Israel. From there, they went to Vienna, and a year later were granted permission to move to America. Gene's story was familiar. My girlfriend Katya also came to the U.S. as a refugee from the Soviet Union. She was 3 years old when she and her family immigrated to Boston. As for Gene, he and his mother went straight to Los Angeles, where Gene's aunt lived, and helped them get settled. Los Angeles has always been a magnet for dreamers, people who left their hometown in pursuit of something better, something grander. And Gene and his mom felt welcomed when they arrived.
It was warm and friendly, and people were different. There was a diversity of people. I liked it.
Gene grew up, went to college, worked as an auto mechanic, played music on the side. And then one day, he saw a documentary called Theremin, An Electronic Odyssey. It told the story of Leon Theremin, who invented one of the world's first electronic musical instruments, the theremin. Gene fell in love with the story of Leon and his invention, which is also a story about displacement and about trying to find a home.
And also the romance of how he came to America with his invention and fell in love with a woman who played it magnificently.
I hope this metaphor isn't too overused, but I think it's appropriate for this story. It's like a matryoshka, one of those Russian nesting dolls. And right now, I'm going to open up a little wooden doll and reveal a smaller doll. The story of Leon Theremin and Clara Rockmore. Clara was born in 1911 in Russia, and she was a violin prodigy. But as a teenager, she developed tendonitis in her arm, a result of excessive practice and the malnourishment she endured as a child. So she had to give up the violin. And during the October Revolution, Clara's family fled Russia and booked passage on a steamship bound for Ellis Island. While living in New York City, Clara met Leon. And he showed her his invention. Clara fell in love with the instrument's hauntingly beautiful sound. And she could play it perfectly without the intense pain she experienced trying to pull her bow across the strings of her violin. This is a recording of Clara playing theremin with her sister Nadia accompanying her on piano. Leon was madly in love with Clara. And Clara liked spending time with him. She thought he was a creative genius and marveled at his talents as an inventor. But she did not see a future with him. Leon proposed to her a number of times, but she always turned him down. And then Leon disappeared. He was deep in debt, and to escape his creditors, he was smuggled out of the country on a boat. Though Leon must not have expected the horrors that awaited him in Russia, Stalin was in power now, and Leon was labeled a traitor. Even though he'd worked as an agent for the KGB, it wasn't enough to save him. Stalin sent him to a gulag in Siberia, where he was forced to build the Kalima Highway, also known as the Road of Bones, because beneath the asphalt lies thousands of skeletons, the remains of prisoners who died building the road in the freezing Arctic. But Leon's genius spared him that fate. He was moved to a Moscow laboratory for imprisoned scientists, and for the next 25 years, he was forced to, as he put it, do bad things. Meanwhile, back in America, everyone thought Leon was dead, even his own family. And his theremin, like an aspiring actor on a bus to LA, had made its way to Hollywood and was starring in all sorts of movies, but never as the lead. It had become the darling of Hollywood film composers, who loved using it for spooky scoring. It was the perfect sound for the moment when aliens exited their silver flying saucer in the 1951 film The Day the Earth Stood Still. And this could have been Clara's ticket to stardom. She was, after all, the greatest living theremin player. The master of terror himself, Alfred Hitchcock, wanted Clara to score his movie Spellbound. But she refused. She was a classically trained musician, and she believed the theremin deserved to be played alongside the world's most renowned orchestras. Not some spooky background music in a Hollywood thriller. But the classical world never really accepted the theremin as equal. It has always been a sort of displaced orphan in the world of musical instruments. The chief music critic for the New York Times, Harold C. Schoenberg, once heard Leon play his theremin, and he said that it sounded like a cello lost in a dense fog and crying because it does not know how to get home. I don't know if there's a scientific explanation for why the theremin sounds so eerie. But the instrument itself is straight up spooky. The player never touches it, her hands hovering over cold metal rods like she's casting a spell. The sound is generated from the invisible space between the human and the machine, like a spirit being summoned. I can see why Jean fell in love with the story of Leon and Clara. Jean also emigrated from the Soviet Union, found refuge in America. And like Leon, he's a musician and a tinkerer. And after learning about Leon and his invention, Jean bought an old theremin from a friend of a friend. Nothing fancy, just something he could learn to play on. He opened up the wooden cabinet and studied its circuitry so he could learn how to make one himself. For 15 years, mostly, the old theremin just sat in the corner of his living room. Until a couple fellow theremin enthusiasts came over, took a look at it, and made a remarkable discovery.
They made the determination that this was indeed a theremin that was built by Leon Theremin in 1928, and is one of maybe three Theremins like this that exist in this world. What do you remember about the day? Because I remember, like, there was some trouble getting the engine started at first or something like that.
Yes, I do remember there's something like that, yes.
All of a sudden it caught, and the engine started, and we were all like, yeah, we can go. We cast off, and we turned the boat around, and we started heading down the channel.
There was engine trouble.
And almost instantly, the engine stalls.
And drifting.
And I look up, and the breakwater is pretty close, and breakwater is made out of giant boulders.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, I do remember we started drifting towards the breakwater, yes.
We had set sail literally for about 45 seconds before we were in mortal danger. Out of the night comes the Harbor Patrol boat. The Marina Del Rey Harbor Patrol came up and they just took control. They were like, okay, take this rope. We're towing you back in. It was almost like...
like they knew?
Yeah, it seemed like they really knew about this boat and they knew it wasn't
sea. It had a reputation.
It may not have been as seaworthy as we had been led to believe.
Now we're going to do a little more research on what we're doing.
After the Harbor Patrol towed us back to the dock, they boarded the boat. There was a sad procession of African drums being carried down the spiral staircase as our party came to an abrupt end. Like children about to be punished by an adult, we all huddled in the main cabin while the boat police explained what was going to happen next.
You guys want to stay on the boat? That's fine, but just if you can, keep it down. We've had an ongoing problem with this particular boat and all kinds of parties and stuff like that.
And they read the Captain the Riot Act. I do remember that. And they were like, well, you know, we can confiscate this boat from you right now. We can send you to jail.
I don't want to ruin the night.
It turned out to be a lot of tough talk, but no action. They told us that as long as we kept the noise down, we could continue the party on the boat, as long as we didn't leave the dock, which seemed unlikely given the lack of a functioning engine. And so the African drums were carried triumphantly back up the spiral staircase to the roof, and the jamming started up again.
That's when the party got started. We were there for hours after that. So it was a great night.
I wouldn't call it a typically LA night. It's just the kind of night that you wish you had more of.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome.
Someone passed me a joint, and I took a long drag as the sun set over the Pacific. And my first day as an Angelino came to an end.
We all made it through this great adventure together. It wasn't quite that 3-hour tour that they wrote the song about, but it was whatever. It's still harrowing in its own way.
Weeks after my voyage on the love/divorce boat, Kati and I went down to the East LA courthouse on Cesar Chavez Boulevard. We stood in a long line of nervous couples and had ourselves a courthouse wedding. Kati looked stunning in dark blue tights and a bright red dress with white sailboats printed across the front. I wore my white button-up shirt untucked and my only tie. During the ceremony, the judge said Kati's name 3 times, mispronouncing it each time. After the ceremony, I asked the judge if he could recommend a good place to get a celebratory lunch. Our first meal as a married couple. I was thinking some iconic LA restaurant fit for newlyweds. Maybe somewhere with a view where we could get a good bottle of champagne and celebrate the beginning of our new life together. The judge recommended the Denny's down the street. Instead, we went to a French restaurant on Sunset Boulevard. Our waiter, originally from France, had worked there for over 50 years. We ate snails and French onion soup and toasted it with champagne under a chandelier dangling from the ornate press tin ceiling. After lunch, we walked outside and I handed the valet the ticket for our car. As we stood there waiting, I thought about how strange my life was. Just 2 weeks earlier, I had been on this very stretch of Sunset Boulevard, holed up in a room at the Paradise Motel, hiding from the manager, with a corrupt cop, a prostitute, and a movie star. That story next time on Welcome to LA.
Good, 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 good vibration.
That was the first episode of KCRW's new program, Welcome to Los Angeles, produced by David Weinberg. You can subscribe to that show right now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. Keep an eye on the Unfictional feed for news about our next season. And in the meantime, you can go catch up on some of our old episodes, now reaching back almost 8 years. I'm Bob Carlson. Thanks for listening.